Probably since we started the shul, I've been getting questions. When are you going to bring Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg to speak in the shul? When can you get him? I said, no, we're going to have him. We're going to have him one day. And people are like, well, really? It's been a lot of years already. Yeah, we were in shir together. We're friends. No, do you really know him? Like, people are starting to doubt me. Like if I said your name, would he know who I'm talking about? We sat like within social distancing of each other in shir for years. And I would always say the same thing. I'd always give the same response. He can't come very often. He's a very busy person. He's got a whole kehillah to worry about. Wait for the Chanukah Sabayis. I did not imagine the Chanukah Sabayis would be in the year 2021. I think when I started saying that, I was thinking about 2015. But wait for the Chanukah Sabayis. And then when the Chanukah Sabayis drew closer with COVID and everything else, it just seemed like it was impossible. So Avishai texted me, said, Chanukah Sabayis, let's go. We got to get Rav Ephraim Goldberg. He said, you have to ask him. So I asked Rav Ephraim Goldberg. He responds to me, look, COVID, it's hard. 2 weeks before Pesach, who are you? I forwarded that text to Avishai, and Kedarko Bakoda, she responds, awesome, sounds like a tentative yes. So I said, well, what do you mean? There's nothing about that that sounds like a yes. And he said, no, you'll ask him again, you'll see. And I did, and I saw. And I just can't express how appreciative we are that Rabbi Goldberg flew in from Florida. I have a little nechama that he gets to see his daughter, so it's a pleasure trip for him also, but that he flew in from Florida for this, during this extremely busy season, mamish just for today, to be able to share Torah with us. As you know, Rabbi Goldberg is an inspiration to rabbis throughout the world and to people throughout the world. My biggest challenge, or one of my greatest challenges, in dealing with smicha students, I deal with smicha students during the week in yeshiva, and one of the biggest challenges is that they have to convince them, you're not a failure if you don't become Rabbi Goldberg. Not everybody can become Rabbi Goldberg. But when am I going to become Rabbi Ephraim Goldberg? First of all, he wasn't at your age, and you're never going to become Rabbi, but you can still be an important Jew. You can still make a contribution even if you don't become him. The way that Rabbi Goldberg has the ability to express Torah values in a way that is so sweet and so palatable to anybody, to people who are not even well-versed in Torah, but to understand Torah values is a unique, unique skill. His midos, his thoughtfulness, and as Rav Shechter told me yesterday, ooh, you're having Rabbi Goldberg, he is a great speaker. Rav Shechter said he's so well-prepared, he's so well-thought-out, and it's therefore a great, great covenant. I'm, again, so personally appreciative, first of all, to prove that you, in fact, are my friend, but also to come and spend the day with us, spend the morning with us, and share your Divrei Torah with us this morning.
I haven't done that in a year. I'm bringing that back to Florida for sure. I'm vaccinated. I'm covered. I'm far out. I believe there's nobody in the whole world who doesn't know who you are. And I would like the whole world to know how close friends we are. So it really is a pleasure and a schus to be with you this morning. And I'm honored by the invitation. It was worth flying in just for that introduction. I only wish it were true and hope one day for a fraction of it to be true. But it is a great schus to be here together with you. Rabbi Leibowitz is, I don't have to tell you, there's a reason you're all here, and you are, like I, among his Hasidim. Because around the world, and from Teaneck to Lakewood and London to South Africa, Rabbi Leibowitz is listened to and learned from, and it now all emanates from this place, from this shul, a center of Torah that's reverberating not only within these walls, but around the world and throughout the globe. And what a schus it is for you, for your family, for this community, for this kehila, and now for the bricks and mortar for this building, to be the conduit through which so much Torah is being broadcast around the world. Rabbi Leibowitz, thank you for your friendship, for your leadership, for the countless times you've come to teach Torah in our community and in every community around the world. I want to acknowledge also Dr. Avishai Newman for his leadership in arranging, I guess persistence also in arranging this morning. So thank you very, very much for having me. Vayakel Pekudei. First of all, it's a disadvantage to come in on Sunday morning. You have no idea what was said Thursday night over the course of Shabbos, what you're going back to. It's probably safer to go to Vayikra, but I want to start with Vayakel Pekudei. Because there's a message of Rav Palman Vayakub Pekudei that inspires me each and every year when we read them, and that I think is really a perfect, perfect description, a reflection of what's being celebrated here today. Vayakub Pekudei, as you know, is essentially a repeat. If you like Truma Tetzaveh, you'll love Vayakub Pekudei. It's the same thing over and over again. In fact, some point out on Pekudei that because Pekudei introduces no new mitzvos, it tells us no new information. It simply repeats all that we had known before. So it's Eila Pekudei, it's an accounting, it's a reflection, it's an introspection on what we already know, but we have to go back and look at nonetheless. But why are Vayakel Pekudei, the famous question with countless answers, why are they repeated? It's redundant. The Torah's real estate is precious, every letter, every tag. So to take up two full parshios, Nebuch, we had a bar mitzvah boy yesterday, two parshios, parshios achodesh, through a mask, Nebuch, to take up two full parshios with what we already know, why are we repeating them? Undoubtedly, you've all heard countless answers. But Rav Palman Zatzal answers a lesson that I find so beautiful. He says, the lesson of the repetition can be best expressed or captured in two words. In Truma Tetzaveh, it is perspective. Here's what we're going to build. Here's the excitement, the design. Here are the plans. V'asisa, this is what you shall do. This is what is to come. But Vayakel Pekudei, that word has changed. We went from V'asisa to Vayas. So they built. It went from being prospective, a dream, a fantasy. Someday, hopefully, we'll work towards V'asisa, here's what we will do, to Vayas. It was complete. It was complete. The planning stage, the initial vision, the original design, it was followed through to become reality. You shall make became, and they made. And for that lesson alone, for the lesson of persevering with tenacity and following through and bringing something, a dream, into a reality, to go from designs on a page to a building we're sitting inside, filled with Kedushas based Knesses, to go from the Asisa to Vayas, is worth the Torah repeating two full parshios. Because how many of us start something in life and we have the best intention and the most grandiose plans and the deepest passions, but life gets in the way. We're interrupted, we're distracted, maybe a pandemic hits, other challenges arise, projects in our home or a new regimen of diet or exercise, commitments that we begin, we start out strong. But then life gets in the way. In January, everybody knows, there are twice as many sign-ups for the gym than in any other month. But by the end of January, the drop-off is precipitous because all the people with all the great intentions to launch the new year don't follow through and don't finish what they start. And the Torah wants to communicate and teach us. It wants to inspire us as you do us this morning that to finish something that you started is no small feat. It's worthy of two further parshios in the Torah, and it's worthy of a celebration. And so that's first of all what this milestone is. I don't have to tell you. To be able to complete and to be able to finish what is a dream behind a Rav who is a dream is worthy of celebrating, is worthy of marking. In Mesilas Yesharim, the Ramchal tells us in the Midah of Zrizus, the concept or the quality of alacrity, of zeal, to pursue a goal, to make resolution and figure out and chart the path of how we will get there and what will be the measures and metrics to determine where we are on the way. We think of Zrizus happening at the beginning of a project, to be a Zariz. What are my goals? What are my ambitions? And to come out of the gate with fire. To come out of the gate with fire. What am I going to do? But in that Perek on Zrizus, or in that Midah, several Prakim, the Ramchal tells us that there's a second burst of Zrizus which is necessary. And that is when you're about halfway through. Because almost any project, look around the unfinished projects in our homes and in our lives, you inevitably and invariably run into a wall. Start the daf, and then you hit some of the hard mesechtas. Then you hit a hard patch on the schedule. Start the exercise, and then a friend came to town and you had to move it to the afternoon. Maybe you're going to cancel it that week because you'll pick up the week after. All kinds of goals and all kinds of ideals we begin. But then we hit that proverbial wall and we stop. We say, you know, I came this far. It's not bad. It's good enough. So the Ramchal writes, Zrizus is not just at the beginning of a project, You need a burst of zrizus to power through, to fight through, and to make it to the end. Because that's how important, and that's how unfortunately unusual it is to make it all the way to the end. There's a woman who set a record for marathon running, but it's not a record you would think, and not a record others would be proud of. She's completed 25 full, complete marathons. Her name is Zoe Kaplowitz. She finished 25 full marathons, and the record is in every single marathon in which she competed, she came in absolutely last place. In 2000, she set a record. The New York City Marathon took her 33 hours and 9 minutes, the longest marathon in history. She wears braces on her back and knee and walks in crutches. She has multiple sclerosis and diabetes, but she's determined. She was inspired for her first marathon and kept on running them, and coming in last place each time didn't deter her as long as each time she finished. And she wrote a book. It's called The Winning Spirit, Life Lessons Learned in Last Place. And after her last marathon that she finished a day later than everyone else. You know, if you like are late in davening and everyone books out and you're the last one in the shul, how lonely and empty you feel? Lahavdil, imagine running a marathon and everyone's done the day before. They've like eaten, rested, they're celebrating with their family, and you're still limping along your marathon. So after the last marathon, she finished a day later than everyone else. Zoe had this to say, quote, "The marathon is really only a metaphor for life. I'm sending a message to everyone that you don't need to win the race to be a winner in life. Everyone faces marathons each day, whether it's looking after kids, parents, or at work. It's about finishing what you started." That is her mission. And those are her records. And that is the only measure she uses to determine success in her life, is not what place she comes in, but finishing what we started. And today, the Va'asisa to Vaya'as of the Beis Knesses of North Woodmere, of your beautiful and holy community, of reaching this magnificent milestone in this day, is not only finishing what you started in being in this building, but is a model and a lesson and inspiration for all of us to get back on track for that second burst of Zrizus, as we are, Mirtz Hashem, seeing the light at the end of the tunnel and coming out of a year that put most of us in a holding pattern, and that suspended us and paralyzed us and debilitated us, and with good reason and legitimate excuse told us, it's okay. Everything is upside down. The world is not the way it was or necessarily will be, and we had every excuse in the world, but those excuses are falling away. And it's time to get back. And that second burst of Zrizus, to run through or over or around that proverbial wall, and like Zoe Kaplowitz, to turn the Va'asisa to Va'ayas, to go from what we dreamt of doing to be able to look back and pause for a moment to celebrate having arrived and what we've done. And that was message point number one I want to share. Point number two, this is all before I begin, Rabbi Leibowitz. Someone might want to text Rabbi Feiner. I'm just joking, I'm gonna finish on time. Point number two. We read yesterday that at the completion of that great task of the building of the Mishkan and the celebration of its inauguration, Moshe was unable to enter. He couldn't come in. Why? Because the cloud of glory rested on it and he couldn't penetrate. He couldn't enter. He couldn't get through that cloud. And Rashi quotes the Gemara in Yuma, Daf Dalad, Rabzirika, Rami Kroy, Kamei, Dereb Elazar, Amar Le Amar, Rabzirika, Rabbi Elazar, Rami Ksiv. There's a contradiction among the Psukim. There was a cloud that hovered, that blocked the entrance to the Mishkan, but this is not the first Anan, this is not the first cloud of glory. There was one on Matan Torah, Kabbalah Satorah, Har Sinai. And there, it says, Vayava Moshe B'soche Anan. So which is it? Does Moshe have the ability, the capacity to enter into the cloud? Can he break through and chart a path to be able to enter the holy? Or is he blocked out? Is he not allowed to enter? Wonders the Gemara in Yuma, which is it? Matan Torah vayava Moshe b'socha anan. He had no problem walking in. And yet here, with the completion of the Mishkan, v'lo yachol Moshe lavo al ha'moed, he was unable to. What is the difference? And the Gemara answers. And the Gemara says, malamed shetfasa kodesh baruch hu l'moshe b'yaviyo ba'anan. When it came to Matan Torah, Kabbalah Satorah, Kodesh Baruch Hu Kiviyachol grabbed Moshe by the lapels, he dragged him and pulled him in. The Gemara continues, maybe the cloud split. There was a shvil, there was a path that was created for him to be able to walk in. So the Gemara distinguishes between the two and tells us, when it came to Matan Torah, Moshe had a lane, he had an entrance. When it came to the Mishkan, He wasn't able to get in. Good, the Gemara leaves it there. But Rabbi Yisrael Meir druk shlita, and his Eish Tamid wonders, okay, you explained the difference, but why? Why did Hashem chart a lane? Why did He make a path for Moshe with Matan Torah? But why was the path impossible when it came to the Mishkan? What's the difference between the two? Why Tvasa? Why did He grab Moshe and drag him up to Har Sinai? But the Mishkan, He was satisfied with His being outside. And listen to what He says. It's mind-boggling. He says, because where do you think there was greater Kedusha? Where was there more Hashras Hashchina? Where was the Divine Presence felt more intensely? Where was the Holiness more accessible? Matan Torah, Kabbalah HaTorah, the seminal moment of all of history, the transformational moment that changed the entire universe forever? Or the planks put in the sockets, fit with the leather, and the Mishkan was done? I would have said Matan Torah, for sure. But says Rav Druk, you know, Matan Torah was all top down. It was all Hashem. There was no effort, there was no initiative, there was no sacrifice. People didn't give up, they didn't compromise, they didn't have to give anything. It was top down. The Ribbono Shel Olam appeared to the Jewish people, and He told them His magnificent blueprint for our world. But the Mishkan, everyone had to remove their jewelry. Everyone had to go into their pockets and into their bank account and into their savings. Everyone had to transfer money, whether cash, check, Venmo, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency. Everybody had to give something. Everybody had to pay. And so when it came to Matan Torah, there was room for Moshe to come in. That was the holiness He could penetrate. But the Hashras HaShchina, the holiness of a building that is the result of people's generosity and their graciousness, a result of people's gifts and their hard work, a result of giving something up, of dipping into one's own to share and to build with others, the holiness that results from that is unparalleled. And that was the holiness that Moshe couldn't come in, at least not while that cloud, while that Anan was blocking. Says Rav Druk, you see this as well in Moshe's bracha. He sensed this when he said, the Pasuk says, Vayar Moshe's kol ha-malacha v'nei osu asah. We read yesterday, Moshe saw all of the work. All that God had commanded, they did, they completed, they made it to the end of the marathon. Vayavarach osa Moshe, and Moshe gave them a bracha. And what was the bracha he turned? Like I'm sure your Rav has turned to you and gave a bracha. Here we are. We're done, we're complete. There's a charity campaign going, you could still give, match, everyone should give. Almost done, sort of done, you're never done. But we're done. We're done. And he gave a bracha. And what was Moshe Rabbeinu's bracha? It tells you everything about the unique and distinct holiness in that place and at that time. Vayivarach osa Moshe, amalam yiratzon shetishra shchina, b'masa yedechem. Moshe doesn't say yiratzon, may it be Hashem's will, shetishra shchina aleichem. You should be zocha. They'll daven bekavana, and it'll be a place from which chesed is done, and you'll sit and you'll learn Torah bas mada, and there'll be ashra shashchina aleichem on you. He doesn't say that. The bracha Moshe gives in reflecting on a complete campaign, on reflecting on the building of a Mishkan that took the sacrifice and the effort and the compromise and the hard work of the people is, Yiratzon Shetish Hashchina, where? Amasa Yedechem. Because where is the greatest holiness is not what comes upon us easily. The greatest holiness is not what comes upon us for free. It's not what comes or is gifted to us without hard work. The greatest holiness and the most intense Hashras HaShchina is that which comes through Masa Yedechem. And this beautiful and magnificent shul is the result of Masa Yedechem, of your hard work, your selfless sacrifice, of giving what you have. So today marks a completion, or this weekend, this week, marks a completion. But today is also Rosh Chodesh. It's also about new beginnings. It's also about a start. Because in every completion is the commitment to start again, to start anew. Maybe to pause to celebrate, but not to rest on laurels. And not to be satisfied or complacent or apathetic or indifferent, but to double down on who we can become and what we can accomplish and what we can achieve. It's time to start planning the expansion and the next phase and to buy the next homes and the block. Celebrate it a few days, but it's Rosh Chodesh. It's a new beginning. And new beginnings remind us that we're never done. We're never complete. We're never finished. We're just getting started. Our best is always yet to come. Frank Lloyd Wright, famous architect, was once asked, which is your favorite project? famous world-class architect, Frank Lloyd Wright, which is your favorite project? And I love his answer. He said, my next one. My next one. No matter what age, no matter what stage of life, no matter what you finished, our attitude has to always be my next one. Rosh Chodesh is Rosh Chiddush. It's the beginning of new beginnings, of Chiddush, of a new opportunity. The Shlach Kodesh says, particularly the month of Nisan. Nisan, Achodesh Hazel, Lachem, Rosh Chodeshim. We were given this gift of controlling time. The famous Sforno, a nation of slaves, comes out of Egypt, where they had no time of their own. And what determines real freedom? The ability to control our time and what we do with it. And how we fill it. And what we spend it on. That reflects real freedom. So the first mitzvah we were given, HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem Rosh Chodashim, it says L'Shol HaKadosh, HaChodesh Hazeh, this month of Nisan, Rosh Chodashim. Every day of Rosh Chodesh, every day of Nisan is like a miniature Rosh Chodesh. It's a month of Rosh Chodeshes. It's a month of the spring of blossoming and blooming. I'm freezing cold, but I'm told this is a warm day. Believe it or not, I came from this area, but my blood has thinned and I no longer know how to live here. It's a rigid, frigid, cold day. But it's a apparently it's the springtime. Pesach comes in the spring. We manipulate the calendar in order to ensure that Pesach comes in the spring because it's a time of blossoming. Of Birchas Ha'ilan, to see the little flower that precedes the fruit, and to make a bracha. We see the little flower in us that precedes the next delicious and juicy fruit that we're going to produce. And we make a bracha for the opportunity of Chodesh and Chiddush, of Chodesh, the opportunity to be committed to continue to build and to grow into the next phase. It is HaChodesh HaZeh, this month of Nisan, is Mesugal, it is dedicated, the energy that's in it. It's a month of Rosh Chodeshes. It's a month of Rosh Chodesh, not only today, the actual Rosh Chodesh, but each and every day of this month, to be able to name our next goal, our next resolution, and to make a plan for how we're going to achieve it. Okay, now I want to begin. So Rabbi Leibowitz told me, speak about Jewish community, Klal Yisrael, Shul, you can go a lot of different directions. And I will be honest with you, as late as last night on the plane here, I wasn't sure what exactly I wanted to share with you. But Baruch Hashem, thanks to some of my other passengers on the JetJew flight from Fort Lauderdale to JFK, it became very clear the message I wanted to impart. For your shul and our shul and shuls everywhere, and not only for shul, for community and for Klal Yisrael, a reminder to myself and to you and to all of us what our mission is and why we are here and what we are meant to accomplish. On my flight last night, because who else is taking the 9:55 p.m. on Motzei Shabbos from Fort Lauderdale to JFK, were many, many, at least outwardly Torah observant Jews. The overwhelming majority of whom behaved beautifully, were kind and courteous and followed the rules and listened carefully, but among them were significant and loud outliers, some sitting right near me, who the way they spoke to fellow passengers, the way they responded to the staff, their own behavior and inability to follow the rules that everybody was bound by, I was cringing for half the flight. I was sick to my stomach. I wanted to take my yarmulke off and say, I'm not with them. We're not, don't assume. We don't go together. And I'm sure this is something that you've experienced. And it's not relegated to one segment of the firm community. Nobody has a monopoly on being obnoxious or rude. Unfortunately, it permeates so much and it's not geographically based and it's not ashkafically based. But it's a challenge that we all face. The people who appear outwardly to have embraced Torah but don't live Torah. And therefore misrepresent, and therefore bring a bad name to Torah. It's a setback and a violation to everything about who we are and why we're here, and what we're meant to achieve and what we're meant to accomplish, and what our lives are all about. We're right now about to celebrate Pesach. We're about to celebrate Kadosh Baruch Hu forming us into a people, a nation. Took us out of Mitzrayim. We're not the first people who suffered persecution and oppression. We're not the first who centuries of slavery and servitude, and yet he took us out. Why did he take us out? Not to become some secular political entity, not to become a nation like any other, but we had a mission. And this is not our topic, but Pesach and Shavuos therefore go together. To celebrate one without the other is an incomplete holiday. The Ramban writes, the Sfiras Omer, the Chol HaMoed, Pesach the first day, Shavuos the last days. When Moshe Rabbeinu says, show me a sign, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, here is the sign, I'm taking you to that mountain. In other words, the whole reason I took you out is not just to be free. He didn't suspend the rules of nature and 10 miracles and splitting the sea for countless tragic other circumstances of people who were enslaved. He took us out for a reason. And he took us out with a mission and a charge. He took us out, as the philosopher Eric Fromm said, not just freedom from, but freedom to. We weren't just free from the shackles of the oppression, but we became free to become a holy nation and a holy people in order to make a difference in this world. And what is that difference we were meant to make? Why are we here? So the Ramban, earlier in Shmos, on the words, L'shachni b'socham, Kodesh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take them out, and then I'm going to hang with them. I'm going to take them out, and I'm going to dwell among them. I'm going to have a dira b'tachtonim. I'm going to come live down here on earth together with them. My siblings both live in Israel. They both made Aliyah. My brother shortly after told me a great story. One of the challenges living in Israel, it's a great opportunity that your children speak Hebrew so naturally and so comfortably and casually and have such much greater access to Torah because Hebrew comes naturally until you're introducing your little children to the concept of Hashem having dira b'tachtonim. And when they start to giggle and don't understand exactly what that means. Not a challenge, unfortunately, that we have. So, dira b'tachtonim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to come live and dwell and be available and accessible and eminent from down here on earth. L'shachni b'socham. Rashi says on those words, al menas l'shkon b'socham. That's why I'm taking them out. If you're not going to invite me to live with you, if I'm not going to dwell among you, then I'm going to leave you there. That's not part of the deal. The whole reason I'm taking you out is so that you are the instrument. You are playing the music that is God and godliness, that is the divine for the rest of the world to hear and to dance to. And if you're not going to, then stay there. Because I'm not taking you out. According to Rashi al-Manas, it is a condition of Yetzias Mitzrayim. It was a condition and a prerequisite to taking Klal Yisrael out. The Ramban gives his own pshat. And the Ramban says, Yitachin sheyomar v'yadu b'shachni b'sachom, ki ani Hashem Elokeichem, asher hotzeisi eschem me'aretz Mitzrayim. I want to dwell among them. I am God who took you out. You know my power, my providence. And I'm going to come live with you and you'll feel it. When you feel my presence in your midst, then retroactively, you'll know I'm the one who took you out. So if you live today, Tavshin Peyal, 2021, and something happens in your life that you feel, it's not a coincidence, it's not random, it's not chance. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it is the Ribono Shel Olam himself. Ooh, just like he's involved in my life. I guess it's true what I heard from my great-great-great-great-grandparents. He took us out of Mitzrayim as well. But then Ramban quotes the Ibn Ezra. Avar bi Avram Omar, ki lo tseisi osam eretz Mitzrayim rak ba'avur she'eshkon b'socham. I took them out to dwell and to live in them. V'zeo tavdunas alohim al har hazeh v'yafa pirish. He took us out, not in order to indulge in the pleasures of life. He took us out of Mitzrayim not just to be free. He took us out of Mitzrayim in order to fulfill a charge and a mission. Not just a freedom from, but a freedom to. And the freedom to is a freedom to change the world through Kiddush Hashem. To be Mekadeshim Shemayim Barabim. That is the mission of any kehillah, of any shul, of any community. It is the fulfillment and the realization of our charge and a mission as a people. And the entire Torah and Torah mitzvos are a platform and a framework for us to be Mekadesh Shemo, to sanctify His name in the world, in order to teach the world what it means to relate to time and food and intimacy and pleasure, what it means to relate to relationships, and to teach the world what it means to travel on an airplane and to follow rules and to say please and thank you and to not stand up and get your luggage out until they tell you it's your turn. The whole Torah and mitzvahs are a platform to be Mekadesh His name. And if you sit and learn, and if you daven bekavana, and you make a chil Hashem, it is unforgivable. And I'm not the one failing to grant the forgiveness. Lehalacha chil Hashem is unforgivable. Because it is a gross violation and a setback to everything we are here to accomplish. To why we are here. And to what it is all supposed to be about. To what it's all supposed to be about. The Baal HaTanya writes in the 18th parak, even a simple Jew is willing to give their life to die on Kiddush Hashem. If challenged, we hope we're never challenged. We pray, Chalila, we should ever be in a position to have to find out. But even the simplest Jew, the greatest ignoramus, the least pious, if put in the position of dying on Kiddush Hashem, would give their life to die. But you know what's even harder than dying on Kiddush Hashem sometimes? wearing your mask over your nose the whole flight and making a Kiddush Hashem. It's even harder sometimes to live al yidei Kiddush Hashem than it is to die al Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, I'm hung up on it. It really, a little PTSD. I haven't traveled a lot in the last year, and I forgot that experience of cringing from the behavior of other people who will be associated with you. And as we'll see, we have to overcompensate, Rabbi Niona says. The only antidote, the only response is to overcompensate with Kiddush Hashem. To be super kind and uber courteous to your Uber driver. And to do all that you can to overcompensate for the chilo, the chalo, the hole, the gap, the chasm that was created. A chilo, the word means an emptiness, a vacuum, a hole. Ribbono Shel Olam is Maleh Kol Haaretz Kvodo. He fills the entire universe with His divinity, with His sanctity, with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. His Shechina is everywhere. And when a person makes a Chilul Hashem, they made a vacuum. They created a space that's empty of godliness. That's why it's so inexcusable and unforgivable. And our mission as a Kehillah, as a community, as a Klal Yisrael, it's why He took us out of Mitzrayim, and it's what should inform and animate everything we do every day. We just said it twice already this morning. Nekadesh Eshimcha Barabim. That's what that we say. That's what we say, our Kedusha. A Davar Shebekdusha. We need a minion. We remember this past year how much we craved and missed, and the torture this time last year of not having a minion. We couldn't say those words, Nekadesh Shimcha. Nekadesh Shimcha. They become so rote saying those words, we forget what they even mean. When you daven with a minion, you start your day and interrupt the middle of your day, and there's no Kedusha at Marav, but beginning day and the middle of the day, we remind ourselves and we affirm that charge, Nekadesh Shimcha Barabim, I'm committed. My whole life is going to be a Kiddush Hashem. And if you think a Kiddush Hashem is just when I get into Manhattan and I'm among the non-Jews, when it's among the flight attendants on the airline or the driver, that's the Kiddush Hashem, that's not the Pasuk. Pasuk says, V'nidashli b'soch b'nei Yisrael. Kiddush Hashem, first and foremost, primarily and centrally, is not among non-Jews, where of course it matters and means something. But it's among Klal Yisrael, among the Jewish people, among the irreligious or anti-religious or not yet religious, who we are meant to draw to and to attract and to inspire and to say, wow, that's what it means. That's what it means to be an observant Torah Jew. I want more of that. I want to learn that. I want that for my family. I want that. I want that for my life. Once heard of the case of a Gioras, of a convert, who grew up with a very rough childhood, was abused by her father, had a very difficult circumstance, and was driving through Bergen County, was driving through Teaneck, New Jersey, my hometown, and was hungry and saw a pizza store and stopped for pizza. Not knowing or realizing or caring that it was a kosher pizza store, but she saw something inside that pizza store. It must have been a Sunday, probably was Erev Pesach, but she saw a pizza store filled with fathers doting on their children, and said to herself, what is going on here? Given her childhood and her circumstance, and this is not a generalization, and fathers, there's a lot of work we have to do, we're far from perfect, and I'm not saying we deserve the compliments, but this was her impression on a Sunday, it was probably Pesach time, and that was the little the fathers were doing, were getting the kids out of the house to the pizza store. But she saw that and she said to herself, wow, this is the family structure and the family unit. This is the presence of a father figure. I want that. Where do I find that? Where do I get that? And she converted. She joined our Jewish people. She became a Ger Tzedek, a Gioras. It's a beautiful, magnificent thing, and it's our mission. It's our responsibility. It's our job. To be the offspring, to be the progeny of Avram Avinu is not just ethical monotheism. It's not just that Avram introduced the entire world to the Ribbono Shel Olam. He introduced the entire world to the concept of bringing others close to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The Rambam famously writes, there were many who came before Avram who knew that there was one God. Avram did not introduce the world to monotheism. The Torah, in fact, is replete with the stories preceding Avram that tell us about the conversations and the korbonos that they brought. So it's a misnomer, it's a misconception that Avram introduces the world to monotheism. He doesn't. The Rambam writes, in a departure from his normal halachic writing, the Rambam tells the narrative and the story, and the Rambam writes, do you know what Avram introduced the world to? He used his social media in order to talk about and bring others closer to Hashem. He stood in a soapbox in the corner of the park and he told everybody, you got to hear about Hashem. You got to hear about the God that created the universe. You have to develop a relationship with your Creator. Everyone else knew but kept it to themselves. Avram was the first to share it with others. And for us to be his progeny, to us to be his children, doesn't only mean to believe in the Ribbono Shel Olam for ourselves and our own lives. It means to be committed, to share it with others. to teach it to others, to bring it to others. It is mamash why he created the Jewish people. Rabbeinu Yonah writes this explicitly. Ata amad v'izbon en godoch ha'ivinu l'kadish Hashem. Shari Tshuva. Chelek Gimel, he writes, Ata amad v'izbon en godoch ha'ivinu l'kadish Hashem. Ki ikar masha kidash Hashem izbarach b'sarosu v'mitzvosu v'dilonu liyoslo la'am kidei l'kadsha u'liyira mimenu. The whole reason he created us. The whole reason he created us. Gimel kuf nun ches. Amad v'izbonen. Stand up and contemplate. Just think about it for a moment. These frum lives that we formed and crafted, they're beautiful, they're wonderful, but we're doing them too much by rote, and we make the mistake of thinking they're too much for ourselves. Go to my minyan and my daf, I volunteer for my chesed, I cook the meal, I went to my many simchas, I pay my tuition, I sat at my Shabbos table, I prepare for my yontif, and I do it all over again. But why? Why? What are we meant to be doing and accomplishing? How are we meant to be transforming or changing the world, to repair the world, and to bring a light to the world, to make the world a better place? Amud v'izboning, stand up, interrupt your habit and your ritual and your routine. And hisboning, think about, contemplate for a moment. Why did he take us out of Mitzrayim? Any Chodesh Nisan, any observance of Pesach that doesn't include a reminder to oneself and to one's family that the whole reason he did all of this and the whole reason we are free and we are here is not just to have it for ourselves, but to share it with the world, the Kadesh is Hashem. The reason he separated us, and the reason he sanctified us, and the reason he's empowered us with his Torah and his tefillah and these mitzvos, which are the blueprint and the manual for the most meaningful life, the reason he did it all is to bring his name more into this world and into this universe for people to see and to know. It's what he told us. He was taking us out for why? To be a mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh. Mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, what does that mean? A nation of priests and a holy people. Rav Avraham ben Arambam writes, Mamlechas kohanim, she'akohen shal kol edu ha'manig shu ha'nechbat shala ve'adugma shala, she'anshe ha'eda yelchu b'ikvosav yimtzu esaderach ha'yashar ha'yado. What is the role of a priest among any people? The role of the religious leader, a priest among any people, is to be the guide, the path, to be that role model, to show the way and to chart the course. And so what the individual clergy, priest, religious leader is to a particular people, we, the Jewish people, are the priests of the whole world. So you understand that you're all rabbis and rebbetzins. You're all learning in kollel. We all have the religious responsibility on our way to work or the gym or the supermarket or going to get the mail down the block. In every activity and in every moment and every time we're engaged, we are mamleches kohanim. You don't have the luxury of saying, there's a reason I didn't go into the rabbinate. You don't have the luxury of saying, there's a reason that I don't want to seem so frum because I want... No one has that luxury. We are mamleches kohanim. Maybe legabe your parnasa, when it comes to your livelihood, people learn it different ways. But when it comes to your existence, when it comes to our mission, when it comes to why we're here, no one has that luxury. Every one of us is a member of the mamleches kohanim. Every one of us plays that role in regard and klape the entire world. Tiyu atem b'shmirasi tarasi manhige ha'olam ha'yach shalem aleyem b'yachas ha'koin el adaso yocho olam mikvoseyem. We are the clergy of the entire world. And by the way, empirically, whether we like it or not, that is the reality. I don't know the professions of the people on my flight, if they're in Rabbanus, or what they do for a living, but they're clergy in the way they appear to others through behavior. And through the lesson that they leave, Sfarno teaches Atem Tiuli Mamlechas Kohanim Uvezetiu Skula Mikulam Kitiu Mamlechas Hakohanim Lahavin Lahoras Lachalamina Nashir Lekro Kulam B'Shem Hashem La'avdo Shehim Echad. That our mission is to inspire the entire world. This is what it means to be Skula Mikol Ha'amim. I hope I won't lose any friends, but I'll tell you, what will change your life and expand your portion of the world to come is not the red string around your wrist. And it's not even how many challahs that you're making. There's a mitzvah of taking challah. It's a beautiful mitzvah. I'm all for it as much as anyone else. But the silly schoolas that we've introduced, I don't care if you mumble pitamak toras maklaf on your way to the train where you're going to make a chilul Hashem. You think that's a schoola for anything in the world? The biggest schoola we have is to be a mensch. The biggest skula we have is to make a Kiddush Hashem. The biggest skula is our reputation and name, because our name is an extension of the name of the Ribbono Shel Olam. We call it a Kiddush Hashem, is a name, or a Chilul Hashem. What is a name? A name is the manifestation and expression in this world. We can't see or smell or feel or touch HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The only way we know Him is through His name. And we are the ambassadors of that name. And when we live in a world that brings people close and that leaves a positive impression, we have done well with His name. We've sanctified His name. And when we make that vacuum and that hole, then His name is a little smaller in this world. Says the Sforno, our job, the skula mikulam, the biggest skula to be, that's the pasuk. Mamlechas kohanim v'goy kadosh, a skula mikol amim. What makes you a skula mikol amim is not how many red bendels. And the skula mikol amim is not whatever fad, whatever's in fashion as a skula this week or this month. The skula mikol ha'amim is to be mekadeshim shamayim mikol amim, writes the Sforno. A mamlechas kohanim lahavin lahoros l'chol amin anushalik. Everybody to cry out and to call and to recognize and to see, to feel and to proclaim Hashem's godliness and why He's here. Mamlachas konem v'goy kadosh. What it means to be the goy kadosh is to be a goy who are committed to Kiddush Hashem. It's why we're here and it's what our life is all about. It is the difference that we are meant to make. In fact, the smag, the sefer mitzvos ha-gedolos, Moshe ben Yaakov of Kuchi tells us, the 13th century, among counting the mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, he postulates, he suggests, Ki ata sheherech ha-golos yosir midai yish li-yisro la-havda mehev le-ha-olam v'le'echos b'chosomo shal kodesh baruch hu shu emes v'shalo sheker lo li-yisro v'lo le-goyim v'lo la-hatosam b'shum inyan l'kadish atzmam af b'mutu lahem. Says the Smag, maybe the reason we are dispersed around the world is in order to make a Kiddush Hashem and to transform the entire world which hosts us. To not cower or shy away, and to never make the mistake of thinking that Judaism was meant just for Jews. Judaism and Torah were never intended just for the Jews. That's not why He took us out of Mitzrayim. He took us out of Mitzrayim and He gave us His sacred Torah in order for us to transform the world and to bring it to the entire humankind. Now, of course, we have systems and parameters and boundaries in order to ensure our own continuity and our own sanctity and to not compromise our values and who we are. We're very careful in how we interact and relate with the world. But ultimately suggests, posits the Smag, maybe we've been dispersed around the world to leave our impact, not just as good money lenders or bankers in the countries that have hosted us, but to leave our impact in transforming the world towards a belief and a recognition that there's one Ribbono Shel Olam. And He didn't create a world and move on, but He continues to be involved in our lives every single day. And He has expectations, and we are held accountable, and there are consequences. And it's why we're here, it's what our lives are all about. Rav Dessler writes in Michtav Me'Eliyahu that in fact, V'halachta b'drochav means to create a Kiddush Hashem. Mahu rachum afata rachum. Ano roam shu mischaseid imanu od harbe lamala mizeh. Nizboneina. HaMitzvah Yikaris Yikiddush Hashem Ki Yikolel Es HaKol. He describes in Chelek Aleph, on page 22, he writes that this mitzvah is Kolel Es HaKol, Kiddush Hashem. It's everything. It's why we're learning, it's why we're davening, it's why we're doing chesed, it's why we're bound by mitzvos, from the way we wake up in the morning and the order in which we put on our shoes until the last words of Shema on our lips. Our entire life is about making a Kiddush Hashem to ourselves, to other Jews, B'soch B'nei Yisrael, and then to the rest of the world. Kol HaMitzvah Chol Nyan Yavodas Hashem Tochanu Kiddush Hashem. Says the Michtav Me'Eliyahu that all of Torah and all of mitzvos are a platform to promote Kiddush Hashem. You're about to engage social media. Are you going to do it in a way, whether you are a consumer of social media or a contributor, are you going to do it in a way that's going to make a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem? No matter what your belief or no matter how fired up you are on the issue of the day, are you going to contribute to the conversation in a way which will make a Kiddush Hashem or a Chilul Hashem? It's everything that we do. It's all of mitzvos. And all of Avodas Hashem is Kiddush Hashem. Even our own ability to conquer our inclination, even our own effort to improve our own midos, is because when we are the best version of ourselves, we are realizing that Tzelem Elokim in us, that's a Kiddush Hashem. It's a Kiddush Hashem. We are His ambassadors. The Tzelem Elokim, we are the godliness that is inside each and every one of us. There is no mikdash. We're blessed with a beautiful mikdash ma'at like this one. But we are betkufa, we're in a period now, v'shachanti b'socham. We are that animated, dynamic, traveling mishkan. And when the world interacts and sees and observes us, that's their perception of hashras hashchina. Are we expressing our tzelem elokim to its fullest and its finest? Are we the best version of ourselves? As husbands or wives or mothers or fathers or children, as siblings, community members, community leaders, are we fulfilling the mission and purpose for which we are here? Which is not to take from this world, but to give. Not about rights and entitlements, but about duties and obligations, because we have a tzelem elokim, and we have a mission for the world to know it, to see it, and to want to get closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of it. Because of it. V'roh kol ha'me'aretz, kishem Hashem nikra alecha. The whole world will see that Hashem is called on us. The Gemara says, Eilu tefillin shebarosh. These are the tefillin that we wear on our head. This fasemis, and the Gemara makes a beautiful comment. It doesn't say Eilu tefillin shorosh. It's not talking about the tefillah, the actual tefillin of the head. It's tefillin shebarosh, the Gemara says. When we have the ideas and ideals of tefillin shebarosh in our head, when that informs and inspires how we conduct ourselves in all that we do, ro kol amei ha'aretz, from the nations of the world will see that Hashem appears through us, and they will want to be drawn closer. They will want to see more. They will want more. That's our mission. That's our mandate. It's why we're here. Nekadesh eshimcha ba'olam. Period. Plain and simple. So yes, more Talmud Torah. And there isn't a shul that has more Talmud Torah. There isn't a Rav who is putting Talmud Torah more accessible for more people to listen to. You mentioned what you say, you made up that nice story about smicha, but I'll tell you a true story, which is I speak to my rabbinic colleagues all the time and they say, I can't put up in my entire career what Rabbi Leibowitz puts up a week on YU Torah. I can't put up in a year what Rabbi Leibowitz puts up in a day on YU Torah. Talmud Torah absolutely doubled down on shiurim and Talmud Torah and hasmada and tachazer, Talmud Torah and tefillah b'kavana, 100% tefillah b'kavana. These are the cornerstones, and these are the foundation of a Beis Knesses, of a shul. It's what it means. But never, ever forget that the reason we're doing all of that is for the Kiddush Hashem that comes through these windows and comes through the window of our heart to all that we make contact with. It's why we're doing what we're doing. Gemara famously talks about the windows of the Beis HaMikdash, how they were shaped, and did the light come in, or did the light from within go out? And the answer is both, and the same is true for the Mikdash Ma'at, that is our shuls, and the V'shechanti B'socham, that is our lives. There's so much we have to absorb, so much light we take in, that Torah and mitzvot and yadus offer. But it's also that we turn it around and project it out. And if I had more time, which I don't, I would share with you the countless sources that talk about the consequences if we fail, how high the stakes are, and why failure is not an option, how it's unforgivable. Even what Yom Kippur can forgive. And B'makom Chil Hashem and Chokin Kavod L'Rav, and many, many other sources that talk about the significance and the uniqueness, the place of Chil Hashem in contrast to Kiddush Hashem, because of how far back it sets our mission. Echad Shogeg v'Echad Mezid b'Chil Hashem. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you made a Chil Hashem intentionally or by accident, whether you're mindful or mindless. Either way, we're accountable. And why is that? Maharal writes, because Chil Hashem is a din like Nezikin. It's in Derech Chayim, in Perek Dalad. The Mara writes, because Chil Hashem is like the laws of Nezikin. I don't care if it's Shogeg b'Nezikin. If you banged into my car, you're responsible to fix my bumper. I don't care if you were distracted on answering a text and that's why you didn't notice and it's not really your fault. That's super your fault. But I don't really care. It doesn't matter Shogeg. Shogeg's not a Ptur in Nezikin. So if a person makes a Chil Hashem, they're a mazik to the Ribono Shel Olam. And therefore, there's no patur, echad shogig ve'echad mezid b'chil Hashem. It's the hardest avera to atone for. Gets the most severe punishment, in chokin kavod l'rav, and so on. We all struggle. Because not every day you're on the train or the carpool line. Not every day you're going to the gym or walking through the supermarket. Did you get the best night's sleep before? Not every day are you in the best mood. Is everything going right in your life? And so we can fail. We can fail to acknowledge or see the other person or treat them kindly or with courtesy. It's hard. So hard, in fact, one of the al-chaits in half a year from now that we'll say is al-chait shechatanu b'chil Hashem. It's not if I did a chilul Hashem. It's achet shebechilul Hashem, because unfortunately it's an enormous, enormous challenge we have. But we need to place a greater emphasis, and that's why it was the message that I thanked my fellow passengers last night for reminding me I wanted to share with you. Mamash, true story. Rav Yerucham, the great mashgiach of the Mir, bemoaned that the emphasis we place on Avram Avinu is his extraordinary chesed. But we talk too little about Yaakov Avinu's honesty. The Rambam calls him Yaakov HaTzadik. We refer to Yosef as HaTzadik. But the Rambam calls Yaakov HaTzadik in Hilchos Chirus, at the end of Hilchos Chirus, because the Rambam, what's a tzadik is to be honest. A person of your word, to have integrity, to be straight, to be a yasher. So if Yerucham said, chesed is beautiful. And the chesed in this community and all over Klal Yisrael, it's extraordinary. And it's a wonderful legacy we have that we talk about the chesed of Avram Avinu. But how about the tzidkos of Yaakov Avinu? A little honesty in business, a little integrity, a little kiddush Hashem. In the tiny small gestures, like the Gemara tells us of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, who's always greeted the other before himself. I'll tell you a little homework assignment. I try to do it. The checkout line, supermarket, they wear a name tag. When you say thank you, use their name. You will distinguish yourself from everybody else who was on the phone, in their earpiece, on their AirPod, who they were entirely invisible and inconsequential to and were dehumanized. And when you stop and you say thank you and you use their name, to use a name like HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, Kiddush Hashem and Chilul Hashem, when you use someone's name, you give them existence. You want to make a Kiddush Hashem and you want to be distinguished from all the others? Then use someone's name. Thank them directly. Small, tiny, little gestures that make the biggest difference in the entire world and that transform the world. Our Rebbe, Rav Asher Weiss, the Menchas Asher, quoted Rav Yashiv, who once commented that every generation has its mitzvah. Every generation has its mitzvah. And the mitzvah for our day is, let the name of Hashem be beloved through us. Yeshem Shemayim Mis'ayiv Al Yadecha. That is the mitzvah for our door. It's the mitzvah of our generation. It is a challenge. And so I thank you for inviting me to share in this celebration and to pay tribute and kavod to your magnificent Rav. And I remind you, as I remind myself and our kehillah, that the reason he took us out as we approach Yetzias Mitzrayim, as we sit down to celebrate that Seder and we sip and savor those wonderful four cups of wine, is that he didn't take us out in order to indulge in the delicacies. He took us out to make a difference and to transform his world. And that ultimately that is the primary purpose of a shul, of a community, and of Klal Yisrael. That all the activity that happens in here is to make us better and prepare us to do more out there. Yehi ratzon shetishra shechina b'masa yadeinu me'akadosh baruch hu, in fact, places divine countenance on the outstanding hard work of your hands and our hands. And may we be zocha to make kiddush shem shemayim b'rabim. Thank you.